Well, Mike Malevsky here this morning, and I'm talking with Lynn Gaddis, who is a candidate for the legislature. She's an incumbent, and welcome, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me call in and having me on early in the morning versus breaking up the day. So appreciate it.
All right. We're going to give a little background here. Our general theme for these questions revolves around how do you work with others? And as background, we've noted nationally and here in Alaska, there sometimes seems to have developed a more than usual political polarization, resulting in a kind of gridlock and sometimes decisions made by use of power that isn't always backed by a majority of citizens. So going down with that theme, we have a first question. How do you view the present quality of state government? And a second part to that, what is your approach to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
Well, quality of state government, you know, I mean, it's all the quality of the people that you get in there. I mean, I know that's not a profound statement, but that being said, I think we have on both sides of the aisle folks that truly want to do the right thing for Alaska. I think it's philosophically how each of those folks think the right thing is done. So I find it interesting that we're having this conversation today, which is Alaska Day. It's also my mom's birthday, so that's why I never forget Alaska Day, or at least shouldn't. That being said, I have a, if you will, celebration with a small business in which myself and the minority leader, Representative Chris Tuck, co-sponsored a bill together to basically allow small businesses, in this particular case, it's the distilleries in Alaska, to be able to sell very small samples of their product right from their facility. And that's a reach across the line. It's what's best for Alaskans. And I don't see that getting held up, at least in Alaska. I think that we're a small state. We know each other well. But I think we look out for Alaskans. I think sometimes we get caught up in philosophy differences, but I don't see it, only having been there 2 years, I don't see that hold up happening on what's best for Alaska between both parties.
Okay, thank you very much. Second question. How would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to the issue? And most importantly, what would you specifically do to ensure a good ethical atmosphere?
Well, I guess for starters, I'll kind of take that last question first and work the other way. I think the first thing that I'll specifically do is you got to make sure that you're doing the, quote, right thing. And even as kids, we knew what the right thing was and how not to get caught up in special interests, and we got to do this because so-and-so said that. We really have to really do a gut check constantly. Is this the right thing? And so, and potentially reminding your colleagues, you know, as much as you have constituents or somebody that says they want you to do this, is it the right thing? So I consistently look back and say, is it the right thing? And I think that in itself. Ethically, again, I suspect, and I don't get to call myself a freshman for very much longer, kind of like being a student pilot for a long time. You only get to do that for so long, and then you get your license. That being said, I'm not seeing ethical, again, from both sides. I've seen people make stumbles. I'm seeing people make mistakes, and lots of people do it. I think the first thing is own it. Fix it and don't do it again.
Okay. Would you support clean election laws like they have in several other states where candidates raise small amounts of money, for example, with petition gathering and get it matched with public funds?
Boy, you're talking to me at the right time for sure. That being said, you know, we all like the word clean, clean water, clean air, clean elections. But in this case, I think that clean means that the government pays for election. So that's where I struggle with that. Not the fact that it's not a clean or unclean election, but more the fact that government would pay for elections. I think that as much of a struggle that it is to go out there and beat the bushes, ask your friends and neighbors and people who believe in you to support your election. So, no, I would not be for government paying for elections.
Okay.
Although I must tell you, I'm for clean elections, but I think that the word clean election in this case meant something else.
Okay, thank you. Third question. What are the most serious environmental problems you see needing to be addressed, and what do you see as a state role in finding a solution to those problems?
I tell you what, this is a bit of a tough question. So as a lifelong Alaskan, how we did, and, you know, I'll be tattling on my parents, my dad has passed away, but how we did things from an environmental standpoint, 60 years ago, we've learned a lot. We've learned to use our seat belts. We've learned a lot in that time. How we did it back then wasn't necessarily the right way to do it. I love Alaska. I want the lake streams, Alaska, to be environmentally safe for us. I also want the beauty there. That being said, I also want some balance with being able to produce large projects so that we can all have jobs. So in the most serious, what I see is a state role in finding a solution, we've literally got to stop these programs and these agencies that literally stop progress. I think that we have the technology. I think we have the smarts to be able to put proper permitting in place and allow business to actually invest in Alaska. So right now, I think that's a huge problem. I see projects, and then I see groups of folks wanting to shut them down for various reasons. Everybody has their passion, and I can respect that. But we got to somehow stop that shutting down.
Okay. Moving on to question number four. The state of Alaska has chosen to not participate in an expansion of Medicaid as offered by the federal government. What is your understanding of government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care along with education about healthier living and early treatment?
Well, I will go out and say that the Alaska at this time, and I really want to put that as a caveat, at this time should not be participating in the expansion of Medicaid, only for the cost that, I mean, can we afford it? Should we be looking at it and looking at options, looking at waivers, looking at, we should be. And I think that all folks should be eligible for some sort of health care. I mean, it's important to be healthy. I thank goodness that I have that option, but I know lots of people don't. I have family members that don't. And it is a struggle for them. So what the Medicaid expansion, I do not think is the answer for Alaska.
Okay.
Government's role in making every Alaskan to education and keep them healthier. I tend to be a less big government type of a person, and I'm not sure that it's government's role to do that. But at the same time, if it's government's role to, and I'll just kind of segue into this whole marijuana thing. If it's our role to make something legal, it's certainly our role to make sure that folks know the pros and the cons of it. And that would go with marijuana, smoking, alcohol, and so on.
Okay.
So at least truth in labeling for sure.
Thank you. A last question. Many observers suggest that the next few years will see a decline in revenue that will put increasing pressure on the state's budgets, especially the funding of education, as well as basic services such as transportation, infrastructure, and public safety. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions for matching funding and needs?
Well, certainly being able to pivot their programs to match funding with the federal government, we've certainly as a state never shied away from that. So, you know, we need to keep our eyes open and look at that. I think one of the other challenges are that we as a state, we spend a lot of money in infrastructure for classrooms, for schools. Not that we shouldn't, but I think that there are areas that we should not incentivize for building new schools when many of our constituents, students, they don't even live in those kind of homes. That being said, it will free up the funding to actually go to the great teachers. And so, you know, we have teachers that are really, really doing a great job. The fact that we could use technology, we could use a lot of different things. I think we need to just, we need to open up our eyes to look at those options that are available and get the money in the classroom where exactly the teachers are. I really struggle with, and I guess for the most part, I'm talking about out in the bush in areas that are highly, highly expensive and big schools that they've built that they cannot maintain because they don't even have the technology to maintain. And I just shake my head, how did we go so far here? Anyway, we have to look at, I'm hoping my colleagues in the legislature can look at infrastructure like roads, railroads, pipelines, infrastructure that can actually help deliver revenue to the state. So I hope that we're smart enough that we pay for that infrastructure that actually comes full circle and helps pay for what we need the funds for.
Okay, well, thank you. Those were the five questions that we have provided. This is an opportunity for you to say anything about anything that we haven't touched upon.
Oh, well, thank you. I guess what I'd really like to say is I like to think that I represent most of the folks in my district, and I'm very strong gun ownership. I have been lucky enough to receive an A+ from the NRA and other outdoor organizations. Again, my father's passed away, but he was a lifelong life member of NRA, and this it was hugely important to him to be able to retain his gun rights. So that's a big deal. I'm an outdoors enthusiast. And that's one of the reasons that we moved to the Valley is that we could still do that, plus have easy access to stores, easy access to the quote-unquote big city, you know, in Anchorage. And I think that there's a ways to go here in the Valley. I think safety is one of the things that we're looking at, safety and crime. And that's another thing that I'll take back to Juneau. And as we grow, as we quickly grow out here, infrastructure, roads, and certainly with that influx of people comes an influx of crime and things that we need to stay abreast. So I'd ask for folks to vote for me on November 4th to go back and spend another couple of years trying to do the right thing for the greater Wasilla area.
Okay. Mike Malefsky here. We've been talking with Lynn Gaddis, who will be on the ballot in November for re-election to the Alaska State House. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.